I'm not sure how surprising this is to anyone, but the Pittsburgh Steelers have named Russell Wilson the starting quarterback for week one in Atlanta against the Falcons and Kirk Cousins. Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, kind of a back and forth throughout the preseason, mainly because Russ's availability for the first couple of weeks, he just wasn't able to play. But I think after what everybody saw from Justin Fields, this seemed like the no-brainer that you go with the vet.
I mean, the thing that I take away from this is broken, dysfunctional Russell Wilson is still better than Justin Fields. And that kind of tells you everything you need to know about where they actually are with their quarterbacks. It's not a good place. They're not. And you can say, well, they'll probably shift to Justin Fields because there's, quote unquote, more potential there later in the season. But like, if you're going to do that, then why not do it now? Like, I don't understand the reasoning if you're going to make the switch eventually, because the idea that somehow you'll be better today, but better with Russell Wilson, but better in the long haul with Justin Fields when they're both not good. It doesn't make any sense to me. My brain just cannot handle this. Is like a double negative being a positive. It just doesn't. The math does not make sense.
Well, yeah, that goes back to the old adage: if you got two, you got none, right?
Yes.
And so you're going to go with the guy who is, I guess, less dangerous in the ways that it will hurt you. Maybe that's his new nickname, is Less Dangerous. but he is, in the fact that what was the wide criticism of Russell Wilson in his time in Seattle, right?
Mr. Unlimited.
It was that he was a very good play action passer, could push the ball down the field, get those big chunk plays, but he was risk averse. And a lot of times for a quarterback, you want a quarterback who is risk-averse and doesn't get you in trouble by trying to force the ball in and throwing interceptions. But Russell Wilson was kind of on that extreme end of it, right? Where he wasn't throwing picks, but he was taking a lot of sacks. And I guess if you're Mike Tomlin, who's a defensive-minded head coach, it's better for you in your mind, right, to be able to punt the ball away than sudden change bring your defense out on the field. That is the reasoning that I can get to that point. But to what you're saying, Danny, is I agree in that it's not, neither one of them are a good option if that's the mental gymnastics that you're going to have to do to stick the landing on Russ being the guy right now and saying, well, you never know, down the road, Justin Fields can be that guy.
The thing I take this in general is just kind of looking at the state of quarterbacks around the NFL and kind of the idea of which ones are on the most solid footing. Like, we know like who the top 10 quarterbacks are in the NFL. We talked about the quarterback tiers yesterday and kind of where things sit with once you get past the tier 2 guys, which is essentially, you know, your top 10. You get into that tier 3, those guys all felt like they're on solid ground, but you get into that tier 4 group and you start kind of going, yikes, I don't know. And even some of the tier 3 guys towards the bottom, you're like, I don't get it. Does this feel like the least stable quarterback position in the NFL right now?
Yeah, because I think in any of the other ones that we could talk about, whether it's Minnesota with Sam Darnold and you have J.J. McCarthy, one, J.J. is a rookie and hurt. So that kind of helps the, well, you know, we're going to roll out Sam Darnold anyway. In New England, at least you're selling that, and we talk about this a lot with the Trailblazers, right? You have that hopium, mm-hmm. The hope from the fan base that in New England, you have Jacoby Brissett, but that's only because we're waiting for Drake May, and he's going to be the guy somewhere down the road. In Denver, it is, can't be much worse than what we had last year. And we got a rookie in Bo Nix who has looked wildly efficient throughout the preseason. And everything that Sean Payton said he was going to be for us, he's going to be that guy. We all know this. We talked about this when Bo was named starter, right? He's going to go through his lumps. He is a rookie in the NFL where they are very well coached and everybody is the best player on their college team, right? Except for maybe if you went to Georgia. But you have, there will be a learning curve, but you have that hope of he's young, he can learn, we can go through this and we expect this. Pittsburgh is really the only area, the only place where you're like, man, we're in the dregs of it no matter what. I mean, even Seattle with Geno Smith being your number one, you're going, he went to a Pro Bowl. He went to a Pro Bowl for us. And we have Sam Howell, who looked electric at times, right? I think you're right in that maybe your Vegas Raiders are the only other franchise that are kind of in this boat right now.
Maybe.
I'm sorry to say that, but at least your fan base is on, we got the plan, and the plan is to get the quarterback of the future next year. But that's not the mentality of Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is, they've got a roster that's going to be good enough to go 9-8, 8-9, be right in the middle of the pack, because their defense is still going to be really good. They're still going to have a good run game, and they're going to win a lot of games, right? Your hope for your Raiders is, you kind of send it in the side of the mountain this year, right?
Yes. I mean, that's kind of the idea, and that's what the Steelers have refused to do. And you look at every other team in the NFL. I mean, is there a team that hasn't done that, with the exception of the 49ers, who stumbled on it on literally their the literal last pick in the draft, after, of course, getting all the way up to number three?
So they have
literally hit both extremes. But I mean, Everybody wants to talk about how you can't tank in the NFL. Every single team, with the exception of the Patriots, in the past 30 years has had to do this. And even then, he replaced a quarterback that was drafted where?
Number one overall.
Okay. So it's like this whole idea of like, oh, we can just kind of figure it out, and maybe we can find value. Like, sure, that's fine. But at some point in time, like it's becoming so apparent that you have to. Now, whether or not you get it right, I think that's up for debate. But this whole, like, I would love for somebody like what the analytics community, whether it's, you know, PFF or any of the other groups, that to take the quarterback data, and they probably have this, over the last 50 years. Hell, let's just shorten it to 30, to like the passing era, and look at draft value for quarterbacks and then the actual winning components that came with patchwork quarterbacks. Quarterbacks that weren't a part of, or weren't supposed to be a part of the solution, as it were. Because if you are a Steelers fan and you are so deluded that you have gone full Chicago Bears and been like, no, Justin Fields, I can see it. Like, that's a level of copium that I just can't, like, you've watched this dude for 4 years be not good.
Yeah.
The list of guys in the history of the NFL, let alone modern passing era, who have done nothing in 4 years, you're like, I figured it out. And I think we're seeing a bit of that with Sam Darnold in Minnesota. This is year, what, six? Year seven?
Yeah.
And it's all because of draft value. Darnold being a top pick, and Fields being, what, pick 11. You just see this start piling up, and it's just like, I can't wrap my head around it.
I know it hurts your brain. Vancouver Ford text line 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them online, vancouverford.com. The New York Giants are in that boat, too, with Daniel Jones and Drew Locke, right? And it's not a fun boat to be in. It can seem very lonely at times. But, I mean, we're going down, and we can do that then. All right. The bottom three, you know, quarterback situations, if you will, in the NFL, you can go Pittsburgh, Vegas, New York. Which one is the most desolate at this point?
Pittsburgh.
You think it's Pittsburgh?
Yeah, because they don't have the path to it. You're not going to be bad enough,
yeah, right?
You don't have the path to it. I think that's the legitimate thing, in that the Giants, like, they'll play Daniel Jones and they're going to be terrible because he's very bad. He's just not a good quarterback, and that team is just so bereft of any actual talent on the offensive side outside of Neighbors. And the Raiders, like, it is what it is. Like, I don't care what Antonio Pierce does, they're going to suck. They're just not good. There'll be the little defense that could, where it's a bunch of guys that you've never heard of that end up making, like, probably it would not surprise me if the Raiders end up like a top 12 defense in the NFL. Like, it's weird as that is. It's like, well, it doesn't really make any sense, but like, you look at their roster defensively and you go, well, no one sucks, you know? And then you look at the offensive side and you go, wow, there's a lot of suck on this side of the ball. So And in today's NFL, I just don't. I don't think you can be that unless you have this overwhelming defense and being productive. And honestly, I hope they don't. I hope they don't. Yeah. Like I genuinely hope they don't. And it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, you probably should have done this last year, dummies.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, as you were saying that, I was going through. Did you see ESPN had their list of the most of asking quarterbacks or asking players in the NFL about quarterbacks, where the top quarterbacks, what rookie's going to have the best career, who's the most overrated and underrated quarterbacks in the NFL? And as you were talking about that, Justin Herbert was fourth on the most overrated, but he was also fifth on the most underrated.
It's a weird spot to be.
Isn't that a weird spot?
Yeah, I think we need to talk about this a little bit later in the show. This is it's a squirrel moment, but it's also, I think, kind of poignant. On my way in today, I don't know what wild hair just crawled up my back, but Brandon Roy popped into my head, and I tweeted out the general idea of he was the perfect encapsulation in the NBA of that boy Nice, where it was the perfect combination of aesthetically pleasing, like the quote unquote real hooper, while also being a super high end talent. And I was actually kind of wondering, like, does that exist in the NFL? Like, is there somebody in the NFL that you just has like a near universal approval rating where you're just like, they're really fun to watch. I don't care what team they play for. Like there, it just feels like they don't necessarily have to be the best player on the planet. But there's
like
just
it would have been Larry Fitzgerald at a time.
Yeah, yes, 100%. Like universal approval rating. Every player, like nobody's calling him underrated. Nobody's calling him overrated. They're just going rated. But it's what they do is beautiful. But it's also even for like the real analytics is the devil. Like he's a real hooper. He's a real baller. He's a real player. Like because I feel like Herbert is, to an extent, one of those guys, but he has his detractors. So even if he's on the list, he doesn't make the cut, if that makes sense. Do you know what I mean? Like, just somebody
who's
just...
Well, I think it's Patrick Mahomes because he's just far and away the best quarterback in the NFL
now. Yeah, but he has his detractors.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
those people need to pipe down a little bit.
They're dumb.
The only reason why he has his detractors is because they're just people that don't like the best.
Or,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that and his wife and his brother.
Well, that too.
That's I think that those are probably the other thing. They think, like, what? Because I think Herbert does kind of fall on that because he throws like one of the best balls you've ever seen.
Yeah.
And when it leaves his hand, it just looks beautiful.
I remember telling Andrew Nemec when Justin Herbert was a junior, I think. No, it was his senior year. It was his senior because he got hurt his junior year. When he was a senior at Sheldon High School. Mm-hmm. He threw a ball at Providence Park, and I looked over at Nemec, and I said, that is the most beautiful football I've ever seen a high school quarterback throw. It was a crossing route and hit a crosser in the middle of the end zone, and it was like the nose was down. It was on a line, and his receiver had no other option but to catch that ball. He could not drop it. And I just looked at Nemec and said, that was incredible. And I am with you. There's something about his spiral that you just go, yeah, that's pretty, man. He does throw a beautiful football.